You want to respect man, but fear God. Respect man, but fear God. You see, you don't want to fear man where, well, I had to do it because he had... No. You respect man, which means you don't want to have a belligerent faith. So I respect people, but I fear God. In fact, someone said this, said, Wayne, if you'll fear God, you'll fear nothing else. But you fear man, you'll fear everything else.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope, coming your way from New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Today, Pastor Wayne continues from his series, Divine Decisions, and he'll share with you some wisdom on how to make tough decisions when you're under pressure. Well, pressure can be a good thing. It keeps your tires inflated, but too much pressure and the tire will blow right off the rim. We need to know how to control pressure. Here is Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, Decisions Under Pressure.
I gotta have it. I can't live without it. Here's what I do. I just intentionally not buy it. And this is what I say when I think, I can't live without it. I say to myself, I just challenge myself. I say, you know what? I bet if I don't buy it, tomorrow I will still be alive. I bet. Really? I'm doing this stuff in my head. Yeah, really. Okay, let's try it. Okay, I ain't buying that. Watch this. I'm gonna see if I get up tomorrow morning. And I get up in the morning. Oh, yeah, I knew I could go without that. Yeah, I didn't really need that. I wasn't really gonna die if I didn't buy it. And you know, once a craving is done, then it, like, it loses its power on you. Now if God says buy it, you can do it, but you can steward it well. It's much better. Or you might say, no, I'll just wait. I'll be all right. I'll borrow one or rent one. I'll be fine. Now, you just overcome that. I remember when God really nailed me on that some years ago. You know, I've been riding motorcycles since I was in college, but it was in 1994 that I bought my first Harley Davidson. And boy, I was salivating, and I saw it in the window. And I said, honey, please, please. She said, okay. Oh, man, I bought this thing. I polished it. And then I polished the polish on the polish. And then I stripped the polish and gave it more polish. And then I would clean it. And I would actually take Q-tips and clean the fins of the engine. Ah, man, I love this thing. I buy all this new chrome stuff, new mirrors, and HD does not stand for Harley Davidson. It stands for hundreds of dollars. I had so much money on this thing. And man, I tell you, I it was wonderful. But one day when I was doing devotions, the Lord was speaking to me about craving stuff. And it's like, I just heard God, and I wish I didn't, but I did. And he said, put it up for sale if you think you can cut loose from it. Just put it up for sale. Let's see. It was like Job, you know, Satan. God saying to Satan, you know, my son Job here, you know, you can mess with him. And he won't break. And it's like God is saying, okay, put it up for sale. See if you break. I thought, no! I just hate it when God puts his finger on you and you try to run. Try to run, because I tried to ignore it, but his finger's on you. It's like, run, run, Wayne, run. Whoa, that's fast. Oh, that's fast. Isn't that right? So finally I knew that I had to do it. And you know, when I called up the newspaper and put the ad in, right before, I felt something happen in my heart, almost like when Abraham was to sacrifice Isaac. Before the knife came down, he had to die to that. He had to die to that. And when I called up the newspaper, I knew it was just something in my heart, just, okay, it's all right. I'm all right. It took me 2-3 weeks just to come to that point, but I finally said, it's okay. Okay, here it is. And I was still a little jostled on the inside, you know, so I put it up for sale. And the first guy called me, hey, are you the guy that has a Harley Davidson for sale?
So?
Hey, I want to come over and see it. So he came over, and as he's looking at it, I'm saying to the Lord, blind his eyes, Lord, blind his eyes. But, you know, it just finally got to the point where it's no problem. I'm okay. I'm done with it. That's fine. I'm all right. And but after 2 weeks, I just felt God say, put it in the paper for 2 weeks. But after 2 weeks, nobody bought it. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. But no one bought it. And it's like the Lord said, It wasn't really for anyone to buy, Wayne. It was so that your heart will be detached from it and it won't own you anymore. Now you can steward it, and if I tell you to sell it, get rid of it, you can do it, and it's not like it'll kill you. I said, ah, that's it, Lord. And boy, it didn't hurt. I put it up for $39,560. No, just joking. But that's what God, He wants to keep our hearts free. So let's take a look at some three divine principles or bulkheads that you want to build in, because you can't stop the pressures, but you can withstand it if you have these things in place. Number one, would you write down, establish inner anchors early on. Establish inner anchors early on. Because you see, when you're young and you're growing up, you're not able to make good decisions on your own. So you know what? Your parents will make decisions for you. And by the way, parents, don't be afraid to make decisions for your children. Before they're 18 years old, you're not only mom and dad, you're a parent. Now, after 18, they can leave home if they want to legally. You will still be a mom or a dad, but you won't parent them, because one day they're going to be their own parents of their own kids. You'll always be mom and dad. But until 18, you're a parent. So if that son or daughter is not making wise decisions, I tell them, son or Aaron or Amy or Abby, you're not making wise decisions, so daddy's going to help you. I'm going to make them for you. And when you're able to make wiser decisions, I'll let you make wiser decisions. But right now, they're pretty dumb. So I will serve you by making these decisions for you. So in other words, I put anchors on the outside of them. When you're going to go, when you're going to come in. And I, boom, 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 I put that anchor down. You will come in at 11 o'clock. That's curfew. You will do this. You will do that. And anchors are put on to that person so they don't set adrift and make foolish decisions, because they'll have the tendency to do that. Never think that just because a kid is making his own decisions that those are right decisions. They're not. And if they're not right decisions, parent, you make right decisions for them. That's what your role is. And when they start to make wiser decisions, you start snipping those outer anchors. Now watch this. If you're a young person, you're junior high, young adult, college, as soon as your parent or your supervisor or your boss snips an out or an exterior anchor, immediately and simultaneously put an inner anchor in. So I don't need someone to supervise me, but I will do this as if I were being supervised. But it's by a divine mentor, not an external boss, that I can hear what God is saying and He will mentor me. And that requires inner anchors. If you let your parents cut these external anchors and you don't simultaneously put inner anchors on, you watch. That's why after high school, when kids leave, they just go nuts. Girls gone wild. You think, what are they doing? It's because when the anchors are cut, there's nothing on the inside. The bulkheads are missing, and the pressure, mark my words, will come. And when it does, there's nothing to withstand that. And they're squeezed into the world's mold. You understand? That's why these bulkheads have to be put in place, and those inner anchors have to be there. Now, parents, make sure that you help them do that. Supervise them in doing it. And if you're a young person, let's read this together, especially you, but let's all of it read it together. Go. Don't let the excitement of youth cause you to forget your Creator. Honor Him in your youth before you grow old. That's right. So now is the time to set inner anchors. But parents, help them. For example, if the child comes to a point where they're starting to make some other decisions, don't just say, hey, I know I used to have you come in at 11 o'clock, but you're old enough to make your own decision now, so whenever. No. You cut it and you say, all right, you usually come home at 11, but you're old enough to make your decision now. You're going to this party, whatever. When do you think you should come home tonight? When do you think you should return home?
Next week.
Wrong answer. Let's try that again. You see, just don't snip it and think you've done your job. No, you've got to help them. When do you think would be a wise time? Well, I think, 11 is a little early. How's about 12? Okay, I think Dad's good with that. But you think you can keep your word. So now it is not Dad telling you, it's you telling you. It's one thing you disobeying Dad, that's bad. But when you start disobeying your own heart, that's dangerous. So 12 o'clock, you think you can be true to your own word, accountable to you. Yeah, I think I can. Good. Good. And so you're helping them establish inner anchors. And after a while, when they're on their own, they will fly straight and high. So remember this. The Bible says foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. But a rod of discipline, not a rod of punishment, not a rod of anger, a rod of discipline will remove it far from him. But at first, foolishness is bound up. And that's why if you don't have anyone helping you do this inner anchor stuff to build bulkheads, then what's going to happen is you'll be 30 and 40 years old and foolishness is still bound up in your heart. And then it'll affect marriages and it'll affect families because you'll think, what a foolish decision that person's making. It's because no one helped them to drive it far from them when they were younger. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but a rod of discipline will remove it far from him. And so you've got to do that. Otherwise, you'll be 50 years old and that foolishness is still bound up. It was some time ago in Hilo, there was a drug ring that was happening where drugs were getting on the street in huge amounts of ice and cocaine and Pakalolo. And they knew that there were a lot of dealers out on the street dealing, but it was coming from a cadre of three people in this inner drug ring. And they were trying to find this and bust that drug ring. And so after a sting, they got these three people. And their names came out in the newspaper. And when I read it, I was absolutely shocked. You know why? Because I didn't know the names, but the ages were on there. They were all over 65 years old. 65, 67, 66, all in there. And I looked at that and I thought, foolishness is still in their hearts. They think about themselves and they don't care if they ruin a whole community of kids who can't make wise decisions on their own. So they're exploiting their ignorance with drugs. And they don't care if it ruins dozens and dozens and dozens of families and lives. And I thought, and look at these guys, how old they are. They should know better. But what happened was somewhere along the line, no one helped them get foolishness out of their heart. And they're 65 and they're still doing that. So parents, help students and young people. And students, young people, when there's a snip of that anchor, immediately establish an inner anchor and it will help you with the bulkheads because you're going to go through pressure. You say, yeah, we are going to go through pressure. What if you're in a job and your boss is expecting you to do something that's shady or demanding some sexual benefit or pleasure in order to give you a promotion? What do you do? Because your boss and, you know, I don't know. And well, remember, first of all, that's not the treasure that you want. It's not that promotion that's the highest treasure. It's being able to live with yourself and having a good heart and wanting the best for your future. So what he's offering you, a little bit of pay raise, is such a low thing. Don't you stoop to that. That's a demotion. So yeah, would you just get mad at him? What? No. Here it is. Would you write down number two in establishing this second bulkhead? And that is this. You want to respect man, but fear God. Respect man, but fear God. You see, you don't want to fear man where, well, I had to do it because he had. No. You respect man, which means you don't want to have a belligerent faith. So I respect people, but I fear God. In fact, someone said this, said, Wayne, if you'll fear God, you'll fear nothing else, but you fear man, you'll fear everything else. And that's what the scripture says. Let's read Proverbs 29 and verse 25 together. Go. The fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. Who's going to exalt you? The Lord. Not man, the Lord. Psalm 75, promotion cometh neither from the east nor the west, but promotion cometh from the Lord. He lifts one up and puts another down. So if you want to get promotion, don't fear man, fear God, because that's where promotion comes from. That's where success comes from, not man. That's a deception. That's a ruse. Be very careful and don't fear man. Well, you say, well, Wayne, what's the difference between respect and fear? I recall, man, I may have shared it with you before, but my brother was telling me a story. He's an electrical contractor, and he was under contract up in Ketchikan to maintain and fix a hydroelectric dam. And those hydroelectric dams put out 25,000 volts in one little switch. And so it's massive amount of electricity. You just go into the room and your hair bristles. You just, whoa, man. You can just feel it. Just so much electricity in that room. Well, they had to shut this hydroelectric power dam down so they can do some fixing, some repairs and maintenance. And it was time to put it back. And when you flip the switch off or on, you don't use your hand because it's just got too much power there and it could arc and kill you. So they actually have this long rod that they take it. And when they turn it off, it's like a gunshot going off. Bang! And then when you turn it on, it's the same thing. You stay away from it. Well, this employee was sent to take care of the breaker, and he went and he didn't return. He didn't return for a whole day. And they thought, something's funny. So they went over there and they found him 50 feet away in the bushes, dead as a doornail. What happened was it was raining that day and water was on the pole. He was standing in a puddle of water, and when he pulled the switch, it arced, went down the pole right through his heart, down through one of his legs, shot a hole right through him, killed him instantly, and threw him off into the bushes. And I said to my brother, whoa, that's so dangerous. He said, you know, it's not if you don't violate the principles of electricity. And this is what he said. You gotta, if you're gonna be a good electrician that stays alive, he said, you have to have a healthy fear of electricity. And what that means is you do everything by the book. You do it exactly as you're supposed to, and you don't violate any of the principles. You respect it because it has great benefit. It can light up thousands of homes and keep people in the winter from perishing because of the cold. Or if you violate any of its principles, you die. And I was thinking about the fear of God. Our God, who's created the universe and with one word can melt mountains, His power is astounding. Yet we think we can violate His principles anytime. There needs to be a healthy fear of God, of His great benefit for mankind. But at the same time, He is an awesome God. And so I respect man. I fear God. And when you have a healthy fear, God's benefit will be increased in your life. But the Bible says the wages of sin is, that's what it's talking about. Except by God's mercy, we should all be crispy critters right now. But God's mercy is great. How many of you are glad for the mercy of God? Yeah. And so God speaks about respect man, but fear God. For the fear of man brings a snare. And let's read what 1 Samuel 2 says. Go. Those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me will be lightly esteemed. Some people say, you know, Wayne, in building these bulkheads, I'm starting to get it. So it's not like this philosophy discipline of your mind that under pressure you have to have all. No. It's just having strong bulkheads so that in the midst of the pressure, you're fine. And you can make wise decisions because you have the strength of the structure and what God has given to us, such as respecting man but fearing God. Having inner anchors, knowing what my greatest treasures are, and getting rid, banishing craving. And then there is a strength on the inside that will not give way to that pressure. And sometimes people say to me, but Wayne, you know, under pressure, man, it's so hard because I know what God wants me to do and the decisions I need to make for my family, my marriage, but you know what? Even though I'm a Christian, I don't want to do it. My flesh does not want to do it. And I know deep inside, but I don't want to do it. I don't want to be a part of that hassle anymore. What do you do? Let me give you a great mark of maturity, and that is this. When you are able to, even though you don't understand, you're able to obey and choose to understand later. That is a huge mark of maturity, because most people say, I want to feel good about it first. I want to know about it. I want to understand it. Then I'll obey. That's easy. But there's going to be times under pressure you need to obey and then understand later. So would you write that down? Obey first
even though you may not understand until later. And even though you're fighting against your own flesh. See, doubting Thomas was like that. You call him doubting Thomas. He had to see first, and then he would believe or obey. You see, Jesus was resurrected, and the disciples came and said, "Man, he's alive after the crucifixion." Thomas said, "I doubt it." And they said, no, he's alive. Thomas said, I doubt it. Well, there was a day that they would all be together. And Thomas said, "Until I put my finger in his nail prints and my hand into his side where that Roman's lance seared or opened up his side, until I see it and understand it, then I'll believe and obey." Well, they were huddled together in the room, and Jesus enters, not through the door, through the wall. He just enters. Whoosh. And their eyeballs are as big as saucers. And they're all just stunned. And the Lord looks over and says, go straight to Thomas. "Tommy, come here. Come here. And Thomas. And the Lord said, you needed to see and understand first before you obeyed and believed. Here. Put your finger in my palm here. Go ahead. Stick it in my side. Don't be doubtful anymore." And Thomas says, "My Lord and my God." And let's read what it says here in the scripture, in this last scripture. Go. "Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord and my God.' Jesus said to him, 'Because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see and yet believe.'" You know what God is saying? He's saying that some people have to understand everything first, feel good about it first, and then they obey. But there is a far greater blessing for those who say, "I don't see and I don't understand, but I will obey first and I'll be okay with understanding it later." The Lord said, how blessed are those? There's a greater blessing for those who obey first and then understand. Because a lot of people, once they understand, they'll obey. But how blessed are those? There's a greater blessing in store for those who obey, even though they don't understand till later. That's when the pressure is on you and you're able to make decisions of obedience. The Lord says, that's the highest blessing of all. You know why? Because it won't only affect you. It'll affect those around you. Really? Mm-hmm. Let me finish with this illustration. I had a kid in my youth group that had just graduated from high school. His name is Don Mahalko. And I said to Don one day, I said, "Don, how did you come to know Christ?" He said, "Because somebody made a good decision under pressure." Really? Tell me about it. He said, "You see, when I was in high school, we had these scientists come and talk about the Darwinian theory and the theory of evolution. And we were in this amphitheater classroom with cement stairs. He was down there talking to us about Darwin's theory of evolution. And then he stopped and he said, "By the way, I hope none of you kids believe in this fable stuff in the Bible. It's kind of like Aesop's fables, the same thing as Bible fables because they're just fables. This is scientific and that's fables. I hope none of you believe that stuff, the fables of the Bible." And Don said, right in front of me, about three rows ahead, a kid stood up and said, "I do." And all the kids are snickering by this time. The pressure, you can just sense the pressure, the peer pressure. The scientist said, hey, come down here. He said, this kid got out of his seat, walked down the cement stairs all the way down to the front. And the scientist, kind of cocky and smirking, said, "You mean to tell me that you believe in this stuff?" "Yes, sir." "You talk to God?" "I do." "And he talks back to you?" "He does." "Good. Better talk to him now, because I tell you what if I just flip this test tube up in the air and let it go down onto the cement, and you pray, talk to God, and you pray and you ask him to not let it break. You mean to tell me that it won't break?" He said, "Yes, sir, I believe that if God doesn't want it to break, it won't break." He said, "Good, I'll drop it." He said, "Well, can I talk to God first?" He said, "Yeah, talk to God, talk. Don said, this kid got on his knees in front of the class and said, "God, you know that you're true. I know you're true, but these people don't. Could you show them somehow? Amen." He got up and he said to the scientist, "You can drop it." He said, "I can drop it?" He said, "Yes, sir." So he kind of got in this little cocky stance and he said, "All right." And he flipped it like this. The test tube went up in the air, flipped a couple of times, fell on the scientist's own shoe, and rolled over unbroken. And that young man said, "Thank you, sir, and thank you, God," and walked back.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Decisions Under Pressure by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for listening. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves. That place is New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.